Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, as we gather this day for worship, we are reminded that your truth does endure from generation to generation. Lord, this day we are thankful for the faith which has led us for so many years here at Calvary Church. We're thankful for the constancy of your love, which has guided us as we have tried to live our lives as faithful believers in this place. We would pray that you would bless us in this time of worship, that our worship may be authentic, it might be real, so that we might focus on you and on your love. And these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our scripture text for the morning is drawn from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. You can't read this, you cannot hear this without understanding the emphasis upon faith. As we're moving forward with our faith forward emphasis here at Calvary, this very chapter is the core, is the base of what we hope to do. Again, Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's, and through this he received approval as righteous, God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. And by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, he received the power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. And therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. And all of these have died in faith without having received the promises. But from a distance they saw and greeted them. And they confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. And if they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Hopeful words for people of faith.
Don't miss next Sunday. Just mark it on your calendar. Unless there's an emergency or family situation, don't miss it. Next Sunday, September 25th, is a pivotal moment in the life of this old church. It is the first of three congregational meetings that we're going to have in our Faith Forward strategic planning process. And it is the moment when we as a congregation are going to look back at how God has moved our church and the members of this church in our past since 1875, learning from that and the character
would be a special memory.
Was it to this young man here?
This young man.
And who is this person?
This is my husband, Doyle Baker, and we met as college students in this very church. And the wedding over in the old sanctuary was one of my wonderful memories, of course. And I would not want to miss mentioning the joy of serving the sanctuary choir for many, many years under the direction of Ruth Fife. What else did you want me to say?
Well, that's great. I think you're doing well. Doyle, you really did well. I want you to know that. You made a great selection. Doyle and I kid each other. You know, he's got a wonderful last name, Baker. And we kid each other about being third or fourth cousins twice removed or something. And I appreciate these good people. Why have you all stayed at Calvary Baptist Church?
There was never any question about not staying. The church mentored us during our college years. Then our marriage and our children came along.
Characteristic or two of Calvary Church that kind of comes to mind when you think of our congregation?
Caring.
Okay.
Being Christ-centered. And I think leading us into ways of... I need to talk into this thing. leading us into ways of service.
Okay. Well, you and Doyle have been wonderful members, wonderful, wonderful members for a good time. And I wonder, as we talk about Calvary's future, is there a word you could give us that would describe your feelings about the future of Calvary Baptist Church?
I think so. I think the word exciting is appropriate.
God bless your heart. May your tribe increase, Marion. Thank you very, very much. Doyle, bless you. You need to be here next Sunday. Around the tables in small groups, you have an opportunity to hear more stories, which will tell us something about the DNA of Calvary Church. That, incidentally, is one of the reasons that we're using Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. Your homework assignment, if you need another one, was already to read the book of Acts or to kind of explore Acts, because it's the history of the early church. But let me be sure that you read, if not all of the book of Hebrews, just 13 chapters, read chapter 11. Someone said if you want to use sports imagery, it's like a stroll through God's Hall of Fame. And champion after champion and trophy case after trophy case is examined. And you go all the way from Abraham and Abel and Moses and David and on and on and on and on. And underneath each of those trophies is inscribed this phrase, "This was achieved by faith." That's why we're doing this, folks. Because Hebrews tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Check it out. Your faith is your key to your relationship with God. Faith is belief or trust in a person or thing. It cannot necessarily be scientifically proved, but it is in your gut. It is in your soul. Do you have faith in God this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? These were faithful people here in Hebrews 11. These are faithful people we're going to talk about in the history of our church. And we need to grasp onto their DNA and the characteristics that made them the followers of Christ that they were, so that we can be sure to carry out the legacy that's been passed on to us, and that we can be the church that God is calling us to be, not just in the present, though that's important, but in the future too. It's biblical for us to do this. Did you know that? Check out Hebrews chapter 10. Right before we start that roll call of faith in chapter 11, Hebrews 10:32 says, "But recall the former days." Recall your past. I know it's not always been easy. Hang in there. I was with you then. I'm going to be with you now. You endured a hard struggle then. You can do it now. I'm there. So we do it for biblical reasons. We do it so that we can say that faith is the key ingredient in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For just a few moments this morning, as you get ready to be present, to be there next Sunday, some characteristics of a faith-forward church. Characteristic number one, a faith-forward church is a church which has resilience, perseverance, can keep on keeping on. After the faith chapter in Hebrews 11, the writer in Hebrews 12 says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," all these people back in Hebrews 11, "let us run with perseverance, resilience, the ability to keep on keeping on, even if it's tough." I am privileged to be the pastor of this church. It's an incredible honor. And when I think of some of the people that were pastors before me, I'm grateful to God just for this opportunity. One of those, especially when we talk in terms of resilience and endurance, was Dr. T.C. Ecton. He had the longest tenured pastorate at Calvary Baptist Church, 38 years, 1909 to 1947, and he left a legacy. And that legacy included family. And one of those is Becky Wills. Becky, would you stand for just a moment? Becky, when did you first come to Calvary Baptist Church?
I first came to Calvary. I was in about fifth grade. I came with my family. We had a lot of other family here already worshiping, and so we joined them. Particularly remember, we loved that it was so friendly. Even the kids in the choir and Sunday school were very welcoming, and we just felt very much at home here. And as I got a little bit older, I had Hank as a youth leader, and you can imagine what that was like. I had friends who would say, "Church is so boring," and I'd say, "Not where I go."
Well, we've mentioned Dr. Ecton. Do you have any special connection to him?
He was my great-grandfather on my mother's side.
Your great-grandfather on your mother's side. That leads me to believe and to have a suspicion that there might be some other Ectons still around. Is that true?
There are. There's quite a few of us. My parents, Jane and Carl Lang, and my daughter, Katie, when she's home from school. My aunt and uncle, Harriet and Frank McVeigh, cousin Penny, and her husband, Ben Campbell, and Chad and Tom Hickey. And actually, before all the kids went away to college, we used to fill up a whole pew on Sunday mornings. So that was a lot of fun. And I'll have to say, if you had challenged us to switch seats, that might have been chaos.
That might not have been a good move on my part, right? Okay, at that point. And, you know, part of that is not only did Dr. Ecton minister during that 38-year period, but he continued to minister through his family. That included his daughter, Ruth, who not only was a church member, but who led this wonderful choir for about 30 years. That's Penny and Chad's mom. So lots of connections there with the Ecton family. You're the great-granddaughter of the longest-tenured pastor of Calvary Baptist Church, and you are the chairman of Calvary's deacons. What do you think Dr. Acton would have thought about that?
Well, I don't know because I didn't meet him. I hope that he would be proud. My grandmother, Hilda Acton, was one of the first women deacons, so I do not think that she would be surprised.
Well, have you got a Dr. Acton story or memory or something that you would like to share with us? Could you
do
that?
Well, there are several. Penny probably has several because he lived with them for a while. But the favorite one that my mom and Aunt Harriet tell is when they would be eating dinner at the parsonage. They lived at the house right next door to the church, and there'd be a knock. They'd be at the dinner table, and he would get up and answer the door, and it would be a young couple that wanted to get married right then. And so they'd all get up from the dinner table, and my aunt and mom would sit on the steps and giggle and watch the young couple get married, and whoever happened to be in the kitchen, which was usually Aunt Ruth, I think, came in, and they were the witness of the marriage ceremony. So they enjoyed that. They also took the pump organ to the jail and would have a little church service on Sunday afternoons, and my mom said she was scared to death because they'd hear that clank of the iron door behind them. She was afraid they'd never get out. It was definitely a family affair.
Well, when you moved back to Kentucky, you moved back to Calvary Baptist Church, and you have stayed and you serve. What keeps you here? Why have you stayed at Calvary Baptist?
Initially, when I came back to Lexington, I came to Calvary because it was the church home that I had grown up in. But Carrie Beth had wonderful children's programs, which was very important to me. I wanted Will and Katie to grow up studying the Bible. I have enjoyed the women's ministries and Bible studies. And actually, I still had a lot of good friends that I had grown up in the youth group with that were still here. And now our children have grown up in the youth group together. And that's been very special.
Becky, is there a characteristic or two of Calvary Baptist Church that comes to mind when you think of our congregation?
I think it would be the missions and the dedication to missions. Having a minister of missions, Brian's done a great job, and I just think it's very, very important that we reach out and help others.
And as the chairman of our deacons and as somebody who's very active in the church, give us a word that would describe your feelings about the future of Calvary.
I think I would say dynamic. We have a lot of young couples in our church right now, which is a lot of fun. The nursery is full of babies, a lot of college students, and I agree. I think it's a very exciting time here at Calvary.
I think your great-grandfather would be most proud.
Thank you.
Thanks. You don't want to miss next Sunday. Oh, no. Be there. So one characteristic of a faith-forward church is perseverance, resiliency, even when things go badly. Like when the church first established in 1906, then burnt down several months later, and a lot of people would say, let's just quit. We shouldn't have had a church to start with. No, our church forebears rebuilt that church, and by 1908, they were fully functioning again, making a difference in the center of Lexington for the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Come next week, we'll learn more about this resiliency characteristic of Calvary. There's a second characteristic, and that has been the capacity to deal with change, to deal with change. Another reason you need to come next Sunday morning, not only to church but to Sunday school, is that Hank Ellington, our associate pastor, has written a wonderfully well-written and scripted Sunday school lesson about some defining moments in the history of Calvary Baptist Church. And so we're going to ask you to go to your Sunday school class, and everybody college on up is going to study this Sunday school lesson. A lot of you were given that lesson today. Just in case you're not in a Sunday school class, and some of you aren't, I know that. I want you to be at least for one Sunday next Sunday. I'm going to teach a Sunday school class using the material that Jim Humphrey and Hank have made available to us. And we're going to meet in the chapel. Not going to keep you long, but I would like you to be there. As with your other brothers and sisters in Christ at Calvary, we look at some of these defining moments. Hank, come and just give us a preview about some of those changes that we've gone through.
January 28, 1875, was a wintry night in Lexington. 30 years earlier, the Southern Baptist Convention was birthed in Augusta, Georgia. Chestnut colt Aristides won the very first Kentucky Derby over in Louisville, previous spring. The Ohioan U.S. Grant was the president of the United States. It would be another 28 years before the University of Kentucky, located 1 mile from where you are sitting this morning, would field a basketball team. And the Kansan Adolph Rupp would arrive as head coach of that program another 27 years later in 1930. The population of Fayette County in 1875 was 28,000, and surprisingly, that number did not include Jim Humphrey. As they gathered that evening in the basement of First Baptist Church on Short Street, the men and the women were just a decade removed from the horror of the Civil War. In less than a year, the telephone would be invented, and the wait for cell phones would be another 104 years. It would be 11 years until Coca-Cola was invented in Atlanta, and not surprisingly, the drinking straw was invented soon after. None of that grouping of believers had ever seen a car, an airplane, or a motion picture. Their understanding of an apple was a piece of fruit, not an information delivery system. And the group was composed of more women than men, and the newspaper account of the meeting reported that it began with singing and with prayer. There seemed to be a consensus in that small gathering of believers that God was calling them to something new. The parting with the mother church was quite un-Baptist in that it was amicable. And First Baptist Church wished the pioneers well as they embarked on the adventure that would be Calvary Baptist Church.
Wow, Hank, there have been lots of changes from the very beginning of the establishment of our church, which shouldn't really surprise us, because when you go back and read that roll call of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, when you read the entire biblical story for that matter, change is the way that God's always done His work. How many of y'all like change? Maybe 3% of this congregation. We resist change. It's almost part of our human nature. But check out the biblical story that change is how God operates. You are a Christian today, if you are one, because a change has taken place in your life. We used to sing about it. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. When we ordain new deacons, I give them about 6 challenges. And one of the challenges is this: do not view change as an enemy to be resisted, but as an ally to be embraced. All kinds of changes, physically, socially, culturally. The Greek philosopher Heraclitus once said, there's nothing permanent except change, and Heraclitus was almost accurate, nearly 100% correct. Nearly, but not quite, because there is one thing which never does vary. And the writer of Hebrews picks up on that. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Even in the midst of change, we have the constant of a God who loves us to such an extent that He became one of us in the person of Jesus Christ, forgiving us of our sin, inviting us to join on the journey of Christianity where we can use our gifts and share God's love with the world. Embrace change. One other characteristic that I'll mention this morning: resolve. Be sure that you embrace change. Be sure that you always try to be a resilient type of person. Be sure that you know that God is always going to be with you, whatever the going might be. But resolve to follow Jesus. The conclusion of Hebrews chapter 11 really comes about in the first few verses of Hebrews chapter 12, where the writer says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely," which is another characteristic of faith-forward Christians. They confess that they're sinners and need a Savior. So if you got a clinging sin this morning, there's still hope for you. Read about what happened in Hebrews chapter 11. You talk about sinners, it's permeated with it. Abraham lied about Sarah. "Pretend you're not my wife, be my sister," he said, "so Pharaoh will let me go." David had problems with the women, if you remember, Bathsheba and others, an adulterer. Moses murdered an Egyptian. Rahab, a harlot, was utilized by God in that chapter. All kinds of sinners, because we're all sinners. We all mess up. You know why I love Hebrews 11 so much? Because it says God still uses us anyway. So knowing that Jesus Christ is the one who forgives you of sin, even clinging closely sin, resolve to keep your eyes on Jesus. Or as it says, the one who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Listen, good people. We're not only talking here about the God of creation who has given you the gift of life. We're talking about the God of resurrection who overcomes death. Resolve to follow Jesus. Faith forward. Next Sunday, it will be a pivotal moment in the life of our church. Buy your ticket. Stay for lunch. Plan to come, say a prayer, be there. Let's pray. Thank you, gracious God, for the faith of church forebears, which throughout the years has moved Calvary Church along as we learn from the past, enable us to make efficient and wise use of the present so that we might be the church you call us to be in the future, O God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.